stenciled on wood, then affixed to the concrete. Though these were all gone, a few ghostly impressions of the lettering remained, in the same way that a picture on a wall will leave a pattern when taken down. Orthodontal surgery, one said. ComSec R&R, another, more mysterious one said. TR Manual 31C, a third said. One door was much larger than the others, wide enough to get a war wag through it. It was simply headed, Stores Subsec 9M.
Stores sounds promising. Worth a try?
How do we get in? Over, under, or around?
Or through, Ryan. Looks like the muties have tried.
There were ample dents and scratches in the dull matte green metal, but no sign that the door had been opened in the past 100 years.
Control panel's not harmed.
Oddly, that was true. There was a palm print indent in the control panel to the right of the door. A small digital display glowed faintly in the half-light.
Any guesses, people?
It's probably not a sec-lock system. There would be no need deep inside the redoubt. Simply clean the dust off the panel and look at which ones are worn. Bound to show.
Right, Doc.
Ryan used his sleeve to wipe the display clear of gray dust. His breath fogged the transparent plastic, and he smeared that away. By squinting at an angle, he could see that the old man was right. The letter K was marked, and so was the number 7. He pressed them, but nothing happened.
Try the other way around. 7 and then the letter.
Yeah, you're right, babe.
The door began to roll about 5 feet upward, and grated to a halt.
Something burned.
A few wisps of smoke drifted out of the panel. For a moment, a tiny flame glowed red-gold, like the gleam in the eye of a hunting beast.
Guess the bastard's had enough.
The fire suddenly disappeared. Ryan looked at the heavy door, considering his next course of action. If there were sealed stores behind it, then it might be worth the gamble of ducking under. He touched the frozen metal. It was vibrating slightly, as if a motor were still turning over somewhere within it.
Gonna fall. If we go, best go now.
Go!
A glimpse of the muties gathering behind them had helped him decide. There might be dozens more around the next curve of the main passage, and they'd be caught like nuts in the jaws of the crusher. They ducked under the trembling set door, Doc Tanner having to stoop considerably to avoid knocking off his stovepipe hat. They found themselves in a narrow corridor with a high ceiling. The lighting was good, and there was little dust. Ryan wasn't sure whether he imagined it, but it didn't seem quite so bone-chillingly cold. Finn didn't agree.
Whoa, fuck a muty rattler, Ryan. I'm colder than a fucking well-digger's ass.
Then let's go see what we can find. JB?
Yeah, Ryan?
Any way of fixing that door so it comes down? I'd feel safer with that locked in my back.
Oh, I'm sure I got something.
JB stepped toward the ponderous steel shutter. Then he stopped, hearing what they all heard.
What the hell is that?
Don't know. Something like cable snapping or something.
They all moved away from the door. It fell a couple of inches, jerkily, then suddenly dropped to the floor. Dust pattered from the ceiling, showering them all.
Take the Lord Almighty to open that sucker now! You want it safe, Ryan? You got fucking safe.
It was disappointing. Not so bad as some of the redoubts that Ryan and JB had found when they'd ridden with the trader. Some of those had been stripped cleaner than charity, with nothing left inside but bare walls. At least the evacuation of this Oregon redoubt had left a little behind, but it was disappointingly little. There were no weapons at all, with those sections completely cleared. No blasters, no grens, no missiles. Ryan's group had better luck in the area of the redoubt where food and drink had been stored. There were sealed containers of Colorado spring fresh water. Finn peeled the ring off the top of one of the clear plastic containers and sipped cautiously.
Not bad, folks. Come on, you guys, belly up to the bar and try some.
Ryan was suddenly conscious of the dryness in his throat and the dust that seemed to layer his lungs.
Sure. Why the fuck not?
He lifted one of the bottles from the opened case, tasting its contents, amazed that it was still good and fresh after so many years.
Food here!
When the occupants of the redoubt had evacuated, they left all open cases and packages behind. There were some self-heats. Beans with bacon, beans with pork, rice and stew, which looked good from the picture of a steaming banquet on the outside of the double-layer tin. Lori heated a can, waiting the approved 3 minutes, opened it, and put it down on the floor, wrinkling her nose in disgust.
Ugh, looks like shit.
Probably tastes like it, too.
What the fuck's this?
Tinned asparagus, Finn. Got lots of iron.
Oh, asparagus. Still looks like a can of pickled muties cocks.
Got a point.
Yeah, Jack. Maybe we should go out there and get us some.
No, that's okay.
The side room where the cases of food were stored began to smell good, with the steam from the self-heats misting the cold air. Everyone ate their fill, regardless of the odd gastronomical mix. Ryan stuck to beans with diced pork, devouring three large cans before he felt satisfied. Christy ate two self-heats of turkey, mixing it with cabbage. Finn managed nearly five of the chili beef, mixing in chicken-fried steak with rice. Jack would only touch the cans of fruit, sucking out the sweet syrup, licking his pale lips eagerly. Lori nibbled daintily at some mashed lobster with clam chowder, blowing on the bubbling mix to cool it enough to eat.
A damned load of convenient claptrap, this is. The time was we would have found real food, not this syntho garbage.
Doc ate only a 10 and a half of long, obscenely pink Frankfurter sausages, their skins glistening moistly in the half-light of the food storage chambers. But even he couldn't resist a large flat tin. When peeled open, after the obligatory wait, it revealed row upon row of small, circular blueberry muffins, deliciously light and mouth-watering. Everyone tried them.
Food good. Now I feel like sleeping. What we do, Ryan?
Sleep's a fine idea, Jack. I make it around late afternoon. Maybe dusk out. Best we wait here. Move on in the morning. You agree? Well, you don't disagree. Best scout out the rest of this section, JB. Then set up a patrol. If it's secure, we can risk a single guard.
There's a pile of packing stuff, plaid sheets, make good bedding.
Finn pointed across the large room. Ryan suddenly realized how tired he felt. The bang on the side of his head still throbbed, and the idea of lying down and closing his eye was exquisite. But sleep would have to wait. Although their location in the store seemed secure, and the door that had slammed down behind them was immovable, Ryan and JB scouted while the others got the bedding ready. There were several smaller storage chambers on either side of the central block, but there wasn't time to examine them closely. At a quick glance, it looked as if most of them were stripped bare, doors swung open. But a couple near the end were still closed. JB pressed his eyes to the obslit.
This one was overlooked during evac, Ryan. Dozens of packing cases, all sealed tight.
Check them tomorrow. How about that big end door?
They approached it, noting its similarity to the entrance behind them. It was closed, with a control box dangling from an overhead cable gantry. Unlike the other door, this one looked as if it had only two modes, red and green, up and down.
Try it?
Ryan took the control in his right hand, feeling the biting cold of the metal. He glanced at the armorer, who stood braced, the mini-Uzi at his hip.
Ready?
Sure, Ryan.
The green button was convex. He pressed it, immediately shifting his thumb to the red button in case of danger. The door began to inch upward, a strip of light appearing under it.
Hold it.
JB ducked low to peek beneath the door.
Nothing there. I can see both sides. Concrete corridor that bends left. Must join up where the other one was curving right.
Go close or close it up?
Safe enough to close it. If it's shut after 100 years, it'll stay another night for us.
Ryan pressed the red button, and like a massive guillotine blade of armored steel, the door paused a moment, then began to descend again.
If this one failed, we'd have us some serious problems. Take some high X to shift it. Probably bring the whole roof down when we tried.
That was a bleak thought to take to sleep. Ryan awoke instantly, his body tense. Then he relaxed when he realized what had woken him. Christie's fingers crept across his flat stomach, soft as the caress of a butterfly's wing, as they reached the inside of his right thigh, then touched his penis, rousing him.
Bitch nympho gaudy slut.
Christie's fingers closed and squeezed tightly around his throat.
Not even as a joke, lover, or you'll be picking this up from the other side of the room.
She tugged at his erection to heighten the warning, succeeding mainly in arousing him further. Ryan reached across and laid the palm of his hand across her breasts, bringing his index finger and thumb together on the left nipple, feeling it immediately harden like a tiny, responsive animal.
Mm. Nice, lover. Keep the slow hand for a while, will you?
Sure. But if you're gonna pull my cock off, what would you find for pleasing?
From the satisfied look on Lori's face some mornings, I might ask old Doc Tanner for some sloppy seconds.
He's fucking antique.
Nothing wrong with some antique fucking, lover. No substitute for experience. Or hadn't you heard?
I heard.
As they busied themselves with the sexual mysteries of each other's body, Ryan and Christy fell silent. When she was ready for him, he lifted his hips so that she could guide him into her body.
Mmm.
He slid deep into her waiting warmth, her arms locking around his neck, ankles pulling in the small of his back to deepen the lovemaking.
Oh, yeah. That's it, Theophilus.
What?
She kissed him with repeated gentle brushes of her lips all around his neck and face. He lowered his face to hers, mouth open, tongue flicking against her teeth. Ryan could feel the delicate movements of her long, brilliant red hair caressing his shoulders as he thrust into her. The faster he moved, the faster and more urgently she rose to meet him, hips leaving the soft, warm plastic of their bedding at each stroke.
No.
He closed his eye, mouth open in a rictus of passion, driving in so hard that the girl was amazed at the way he filled her. He could feel the fluttering of her stomach muscles as her own climax rushed on her, and his body jerked and bucked with his own release. The lights in the redoubt were day sensor controlled. At about 5, according to Ryan's luminous cron, they brightened, flooding the pallid stone walls and sharpening the ruled shadows. Ryan rolled away from Christy.
Ouch.
The dried stickiness that joined them from their lovemaking tugged at her flesh. The light and the movement woke her, and she eased away from him, shading her eyes with her hand.
Time to be up and doing, lover.
Yeah. Go look for those guys who sent the radio message.
You think it's for real? Could be a trap.
Ryan rose, pulled his pants on over his boots, then checked his weapons as if by instinct.
Could be a trap, Christy, sure. But if there was someone around who knew how to work the gateways...
You want to go home.
Home? Where?
She stood up and buckled her belt, smiling at him.
Don't try and shit me, lover. You know where home is to you.
Front Royalville, up in the Shens? Yeah, I guess home is always the place where you were born and raised.
You said you didn't care.
Care about home? I was wrong. Been thinking about it for a few days.
Christy stamped her feet into her boots.
Ah, that's better. Got a cramp in my toes. Front Royal. You could go back and talk to your dear brother and his wife.
Ryan's left hand lifted, seemingly of its own accord. He touched the leather patch over his ruined eye, brushing down the scar that furrowed the skin of his cheek.
Yeah, lover. Talk to my brother about paying some debts between us.
Finnegan came striding up. He'd been on the last watch of the night.
Thought I heard some noise behind the door over there.
He pointed to the broken entrance to the redoubt.
Then it fucked off and there wasn't a sound. But have you seen the room along by the other door?
Which one?
Got an ob slit in the door and dozens of cases, all sealed tighter than a cherry's love nest.
We saw them last night. Figured we'd take us a good look this morning before we leave here.
Doc Tanner approached.
What might they be, my dear Ryan? I trust they are not some new and fearsome chemical poisons or some disseminators of hideous death.
I'd settle for some small grins. Lost most of mine along the way.
Knives. Long, thin knives. With edges that'll slit clean through a sick man's spine.
Bloodthirsty little bastard, aren't you, Jack?
Maybe.
Hell, I'd settle for some clean underwear and a flask of brandy.
How about you, Lori? What would you like to find in those locked packing cases?
The girl blushed. She shuffled a few steps to one side, reaching out to grip Doc Tanner by the hand.
Theophilus tells me all about weddings in old days. I'd like there are weddings in the boxes.
Once again, the arched bunker filled with the steam and aroma.